BBC News with Jerry Smith. The people of Zimbabwe have been voting in large numbers in elections pitting Africa's oldest leader, Robert Mugabe, against his Prime Minister, Morgan Tsvangirai. Many polling stations have closed, although some booths are staying open for those who are still queuing to vote. Mark Lowen reports.
For now, at least, any fears of violence or major disruption seem not to have materialised. Zimbabwe's Election Commission says the vote has been peaceful with few problems. There have, though, been complaints from Morgan Tsvangirai's Movement for Democratic Change of a flawed voter roll, full of names of the elderly and deceased, with younger voters omitted. It will be up to local observers to cast their verdict, as Western teams have been banned. Once polls close, it will take up to 5 days for the results of an election that could finally see a country plagued by division, unemployment and economic sanctions move towards stable democracy.
Egypt's military-backed government has ordered police to end sit-ins by supporters of the ousted Islamist President Mohamed Morsi at two sites in Cairo. The information minister, Diriya Sharaf Adin, made the announcement.
To safeguard national security and the supreme interests of the country and to ensure civil peace and people's safety, the cabinet has decided to take all necessary measures to counter those risks and put an end to the protests. So the Minister of Interior has been assigned to take all necessary steps in this regard, within the constitution and the law.
In response, the United States urged Egypt to respect freedom of assembly, including sit-ins, and said the transitional government had a duty to restore democracy. The United Nations says Syria has given UN inspectors permission to examine three sites where chemical weapons have allegedly been used. The UN said the inspectors would establish if chemical weapons were involved, not who used them. Our UN correspondent Nick Bryant sent us this report.
The UN says that three sites will be investigated by inspection teams. They include Khan al-Assal in Aleppo province, where the Syrian and Russian governments claim that rebels killed at least 26 people, including 16 government troops, during a chemical weapons attack in March. It's believed the other two sites are near Damascus and at Homs, where the British and French governments have accused President Assad's forces of using chemical weapons.
The International Monetary Fund has warned that Greece is likely to need an extra 11 billion euros in debt relief from eurozone countries next year. The IMF describes the Greek government as accident-prone and says it will probably need further help in the longer term. The bailout is unpopular in parts of Europe. There are also reports from Washington that some Latin American countries, led by Brazil, are unhappy that the IMF has decided to pay the next instalment of its loan to Greece, with fears that the country will be unable to pay it back. World News from the BBC. A court in Libya has handed down a death sentence on a former minister and close aide of the deposed ruler Muammar Gaddafi for his role in repressing the uprising 2 years ago. Ahmed Ibrahim was found guilty of undermining national security and plotting to kill civilians. Rana Jawad reports from Tripoli.
Mr. Ibrahim has been held in a jail in Libya's third largest city, Misrata, since his detention after the war. Mr. Ibrahim is a distant relative of Colonel Gaddafi and served as Minister of Education and Information in the 1980s. Libyans infamously know him as the man who banned the English language from school curricula for a decade.
The Rwandan presidency has described as nonsense allegations by four Rwandans that they've been forced to fight for M23 rebels in eastern Congo. In a statement, the president's office said it was time to end what it called the cycle of rumours and get on with the business of building peace. The four Rwandans said they were seeking asylum in Uganda. One said around 90% of the rebels were Rwandan soldiers. Another said he treated more than 300 fellow recruits who'd been injured. Shares in Facebook, the world's largest online social network, have finally risen above the price at which they were launched last year. The share price hit more than $38 on Wednesday, for the first time since Facebook joined the stock market. Correspondents say investors have been encouraged by a surge in revenue from advertising on mobile devices. The US government has released declassified documents about its phone surveillance program. Officials say they wanted to be more transparent about their intelligence gathering. However, a significant amount of information was blanked out of the documents, which relate to the phone snooping activities revealed by the former National Security Agency contractor Edward Snowden. And that's the BBC News.